Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
From KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Grape Bar Sports Open Line.
Those big swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Grape Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauly on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go. Let's go.
On a Wednesday evening, we do welcome you in. It's time for another Grape Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Great to have you with us. We've got a busy program tonight. A couple guests going to be with us in about 10 minutes. Bernie Miklas will join us. We'll talk a lot of things with him. And then same deal next hour when Scott Warman's going to join us at about 7:20. We got a lot to get to with him coming up as well. As mentioned, you can call, text, tweet, or leave voice messages. If you call or text, the phone number is the same. 314-436-7900. That's 314-436-7900. 436-7900. If you tweet at me, it's at Matt Pauly on air, MattPauley on air. And if you leave a voice message for us, it is via the Odyssey app. For those of you who are listening on the Odyssey app right now, you can look at your screen, you can see the microphone button, you press that down, and you leave a voicemail message for us. And voice message. Let me get it right on what we're supposed to call it. You leave a voice message for us, and it comes right into the studio. So like I mentioned, we've got two guests, Bernie Miklas, Scott Warman, going to join us today. Really, the two big things to talk through, the World Series, and we are going to see game number five getting underway in about an hour as the Dodgers and Yankees match up against each other at Yankee Stadium. Jack Flaherty, the former Cardinal, against Gerrit Cole. That's the pitching matchup, same pitching matchup as game number one of the World Series. And then the other big story is the St. Louis Blues and what happened yesterday and what has happened over the last two combined games. They had, from a deficit standpoint, their worst loss in about 4 years yesterday when they lose at Ottawa by an 8-1 score. And over the last two games, they've given them 13 goals because they lost to Montreal by a 5-2 score. So this is what I tell myself. I'll take you through my process because I don't just like turn on the microphone and just start talking. Like I try to think through things. My initial reaction on this is to be very, very negative about the Blues and what's happening and just more negative than anything else. What I try to do, because I've devoted my career very much to the game of baseball, and When the Cardinals get off to a slow start, do I go scorched earth on them? No, I don't. I take the step back. I say it's early. Let's see what happens. Maybe this is something. Maybe it isn't something. We're not really going to know until we get deeper into the season. And that's not a cop-out, by the way. Sometimes people accuse me of that being a cop-out, of me like just being neutral and towing the line and not willing to like go out on all. It's not. It's based in reality. Sometimes stuff means something and sometimes stuff means nothing. Yeah, this past year, if we're going to keep going with the baseball analogies, the New York Mets were terrible. The New York Mets were absolutely terrible to start the season. And what did it actually mean? Not much, because they turned it on. They got it going. They got into the playoffs, and they went on a pretty deep playoff run, getting all the way to the NLCS. That's not something that you just rely on. Like, if every team that has a slow start to their season goes, well, the New York Mets did it, so it's we had this conversation a few years back. after the Philadelphia Phillies won the World Series when firing their manager. When we were talking, you know, people would be calling for the manager to be fired, and I would cite, you know what, more often than not, firing a manager in the middle of the season, it might give you a temporary boost after it happens, but it doesn't really have a long-lasting impact. And immediately people are like, well, look at the Phillies. Look what happened there. And even when we're talking about hockey, we talk about the Stanley Cup run for the Blues and where they were at as statistically, from a standing standpoint, the worst team in the NHL, basically, and then they were able to turn it on and win the Stanley Cup. So those things happen. You don't ignore those things, but at the same time, those things don't happen very often. That's pretty rare. That is more miracle than standard operating procedure. And if you are hoping for a miracle, if that's what you're citing, if you are citing something rather miraculous as a reason to do something, I would argue, you're probably not right. You may be, but you're probably not. So we take that all to this. It's still really early on in the season. I think most people, if you would have said, hey, the Blues are going to be 5-5-0 through their first 10 games of the season, are you comfortable with that? I think most people would be comfortable with that. But there are just enough red flags on what's going on that makes me concerned. And it's the same concerns that I had before the season got started. And I kind of stopped talking about those for a little while when they had won four of their first six, I should say. And again, just because they've lost 3 out of 4 and 2 of those 3 have been ugly one-sided losses, just because that's happened doesn't really change anything in the grand scheme of things. It's still early on. The sample size is still small. All those things that I repeat over and over and over at the beginning of a baseball season, they all apply to the Blues. That being said, that was ugly yesterday. That was really ugly. And I just can't completely get away from the idea that this was a Blues team that they were like this last year, where they would win 3 out of 4 and then lose 3 out of 4 and win 3 out of 4 and lose 3. It always felt like it, no matter what, it always felt like when I looked at where the Blues were at, they'd either won 3 of their last 4 or lost 3 of their last 4. That was just this roller coaster all season long. And there were some really not so good moments. And then there were moments that the team really played well. And that's the frustrating thing about this team. They open up this road trip with this fantastic win against the Maple Leafs, winning 5-1. But then they can't follow that up. And that's where you go back early on in the season. They had the road trip to start the season, and they won 2 of their first 3. And then there's a lot of excitement and a lot of optimism, and they're coming back home to have their opening night at home. And what do? They lose to Minnesota by a 4-1 score. That was very much part of who the Blues were last year, where anytime it felt like they were on a roll or they had some momentum, something bad would happen over and over and over again. And if they have that same type of DNA this year, well, then they're going to have the same type of result where they're going to kind of be in playoff contention, but they're not going to be very good, and they're probably not going to be in the playoff. Now, they're a different team. Again, it's not fair on my part to completely compare them to last year. They are a different team, but I think it's right to be somewhat concerned, especially with what we've seen over the last 2 games. We'll get Bernie Miklas' thought on it. He's coming up in just a moment or so. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Bernie Miklas on KMOX is presented by Celica Heating and Cooling.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Great to have you with us today. It is time to welcome on to the program. You watch his videos every day. At least you should be watching his videos every single day on YouTube. It's at The Bernie Show on YouTube. Of course, you hear him all over here on KMOX. He is Bernie Miklas. Bernie, great to talk to you as always. How are you doing today?
Good to be back with you, Matt. And I hope everything's going well with you.
Everything's good. Yeah, everything's good. And we've mentioned this a couple times publicly, but now that you're on, I'll mention this. These 12 noon shows that we have been doing on Mondays are expanding out, where you and me and Kevin Wheeler and Tom Ackerman, all four of us will continue to be together on Mondays, and then some combination of two of us each other day. And these have been a lot of fun, and I'm excited to start doing these on an everyday basis.
And people need to check them out. You know, we got to start building an audience on it. It takes some time on YouTube. You know, it doesn't come automatically, but we'll keep promoting it. But all I ask, just like with my channel, I tell people, just check it out. Just check it out. It doesn't cost you anything. It's free. Go take a look at it. You know, I think you'll like it. So I'm really happy doing it. I'm proud to do it.
Yeah, you know, this is not me being dismissive of anybody else. There's so many great, talented sports media folks in St. Louis. But between you and your history in the market, Tom Ackerman and his history in the market, Kevin Wheeler playing baseball at a high level and being here as long as he has, even me, my time in minor league baseball, my time covering Major League Baseball even before I got back to St. Louis, I just feel like the four of us are able to put together very good baseball conversations where none of us are yelling at each other, and we try to put the most intelligent spin on what might be going on.
You know what I like about our group? And again, I'm like you. I don't mean to, like, you know, sit here and pat myself and everyone else on the back. But I'm just saying there's certain things I like. There's certain style of how I like to do things. And the thing I like about our group, and this is why I think we have credibility, if I may humbly say that, is it isn't just that we know how to have a good conversation, and we don't always agree, but we always have a really good conversation, and we all bring a different point of view. But you mentioned my experience in the market and everyone else's experience in the market. There's also a really deep institutional knowledge. You know, you and I know each other well enough now, and you know how I do things. I always found, like, in the past, let's talk about the Cardinals in the past, that there's always a reference point in history. And I'm not talking about history in the 1940s. I'm just talking about since the Whitey Herzog era until today. There's always a historical reference point that sort of puts some perspective mm-hmm. on what the Cardinals might be going through now. You know, I have that institutional knowledge. Aki has it. Wheeler has it. You have it. And so it's very much an informed opinion, even if the folks listening or watching don't agree with us.
Well, and a name that's been brought up a lot recently is Jeff Luhnow, because we're talking about this Cardinals reset and them once again prioritizing player development. We look at what they've done previously, and you've said it and others have said it. If you were happy with what the Cardinals were doing when he was around, well, then you're likely to be happy with what eventually, and we don't know how long it's going to take, but what eventually the Cardinals are trying to do here.
Yeah, and, you know, again, this what the Cardinals are trying to do isn't anything new. It isn't anything drastic. It's actually overdue. Now, I do realize that there's a difference between what Bill DeWitt did when he hired Jeff Luhnow. I mean, the Cardinals were thriving. They were doing really, really well. So it wasn't any kind of crisis point where they really had to shake things up. But Bill DeWitt was sort of looking ahead into the future, and he took proactive action, which turned out to be very prescient and very smart, because then it set the Cardinals up to continue to win after that one phase was over, say, once they got past the 2006 World Series. And then they had to retrench. And that's where the Jeff Luhnow effect kicked in. And who knows what would have happened to the Cardinals had Bill DeWitt not hired Jeff Luhnow to just get that player development system pumping, and the drafts getting much better, and the international market opening up, all that stuff. So this time Bill DeWitt's doing it after things went bad. And it, you know, better late than never. I wish he had been more proactive this time, but at least they're taking action. And I completely understand what he's trying to do, because here we go again with the historical institutional knowledge, because I lived through it and reported on it when Jeff Luhnow came aboard with the Cardinals in the early aughts.
the three names that we talk about a lot in terms of them possibly moving and moving contracts where it's not a salary dump, but it's just a move on from the, you know, when I think if they move a Miles Michaels or a Steven Matz, that's a salary dump because they want to get out from under those contracts. If they move a Nolan Arenado, a Wilson Contreras, or a Sonny Gray, it's a little bit different. They're trying to shed salary, but those are guys that are going to have, you know, legitimate interest. You had a video yesterday talking about trading Arenado. I guess where with those three guys, what does your gut tell you on who's back, who's not back next year?
Well, that's a great question. I would say, and the only thing, the only reason I hesitate is because I don't know what's going to happen in terms of Nolan Arenado's no trade clause, and I don't know what's going to happen in terms of will they get a decent offer for him. I don't think the trade value because of his contract would be very high. But just in terms of what makes sense, to me, it makes all the sense in the world to trade Nolan Arenado. He's going to be 34 in April. He does not do – he's not wired for rebuilding. He's been on a lot of losing teams in Colorado. I don't think this is his kind of thing. I don't think he would be happy. And it just makes sense to move him to a place where maybe he gets a chance to win right away. So I would think he'd be the most likely candidate if they can work it out. And I waffle a little bit on Sonny Gray. So I would say Contreras from the standpoint, the Cardinals not only have two young catchers that both bring a lot to the table in Herrera and Pages, they've got two young catching prospects that are highly regarded in Jimmy Crooks and Leonardo Bernal. And like Jimmy Crooks, for example, really good defensively. He's double A last year, left-handed batter. He just destroys right-handed pitching. So the Cardinals have, you just move Contreras to the side, they have four legitimate catchers that can fill those jobs over the next several years. And so you have a surplus of catchers. And if you can move Contreras and get that salary off the books and maybe get something good in return, it, to me, it makes a lot of sense, even though I am a huge fan of Wilson Contreras.
It feels like, and I think this is what you're getting to when we talk about the players who are most replaceable of that group, Arenado, you can put Brendan Donovan at third. You can have Nolan Gorman at third. And if Gorman gets back going, if the Cardinals find a way to unlock him, that would be a good thing. And especially based off Arenado's numbers last year, where he just was not slugging, the production isn't going to drop off that much offensively. Defensively, obviously, it will. You mentioned the young catchers. But for Gray, you probably don't have a guy in the starting rotation who could come in and match what he can do. So I'm kind of with you. I think it, of those three, if two were to be moved, I would be most comfortable with it being Contreras and Arenado because it feels like the team is most built to withstand those losses.
Now, the Cardinals can only they know this, but you know, Sonny Gray's contract is really backloaded. So over the final 2 years, he's going to make, I mean, a lot of money. Does that motivate them to try to move him? And of course, he has to agree. And the one guy I didn't mention, so I kind of flunked your test there. I think Ryan Helsley is absolutely the most likely to be traded because it just, this is the time. They're not going to re-sign him after next year. He'll become a free agent after next season. And he's looking for a huge payday. Relievers are volatile. They're fungible. They break down. And if you would hold on to Ryan Helsley and you think, well, we can trade him at the trade deadline next season. Well, what happens if he blows out his elbow? You're not going to trade him for anything because his market value is completely shot. So now's the time to do it if you're going to do it. And I think it makes sense to do it, although it will be a huge loss competitively for the Cardinals and they would have to fill that void somehow. And, you know, that's where it gets tricky.
How much would the Dodgers and the Yankees like to have a Ryan Helsley right now?
I think a lot of teams would. And I think all front offices are a little wary of guys who throw 100 miles an hour. And, you know, they're just like, well, I don't know. Is, you know, Helsley's had some injuries. Can he hold up? So there's some risk involved, even when he's coming off his healthiest season. If you're looking at from the other side, the other teams, I'm sure they're a little apprehensive, but man, if you think you can win it all next season, legitimately win it all, but you're missing a key piece, a guy to close out games, then that's worth a lot to you, I think. If you're talking about short-term goals, and closing something out, that's something that you just put your reservations aside.
Switching gears with Bernie Miklas, how concerned, how alarming was yesterday's Blues result for you?
Well, maybe reality's starting to hit, and I know it's easy to say because after losing, you know, Robert Thomas, they had a good response to that, but now maybe it's kind of seeping into how hard this is, and I saw the news today that Coach Drew Bannister's shaking up his lines and some of his defensive combinations, but they just haven't been playing well other than that game in Toronto, which was great. That might have been more about the Maple Leafs playing terribly. I don't know. And, you know, the Blues are 3-5-2 in regulation. And, you know, if you look at some of their numbers at 5-on-5, they're not very good. So they're in deep now in terms of a challenge. And I'm not sitting here saying, oh, they're going to be awful. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying this. We all knew this was going to be really hard without Robert Thomas. And losing him as a faceoff man, because he's one of the best in the league, is part of that. Because then you get offensive zone time. But we knew it was going to be a challenge. And so with these challenges, you're gonna skate into some ruts. You're going to have a hard time, and you're going to fall apart at times.
The all four line combinations in practice earlier today were different. Like, you have to do that after a performance. You have your worst loss in 4 years. You got to do some things in practice the next day and look around. But Bernie, at the same time, they've basically changed up line combinations even before Robert Thomas got injured. The line combinations were looking different from one game to the next, just about every single game. And I know as a coach, there's only so many things you can do. But when you've been changing them up every game already, what impact does it really have when you happen to move everybody around after one game?
No, I totally agree. In fact, it's so funny when I've always laughed at us, and I'm not laughing at other media because I'm part of it, you know, where everyone just starts hyperventilating every time shakes up the lines in the morning skate or the day before. I've done it, but yeah, I don't know. I don't understand why we always act like this. Oh, wow. You know, wow. No, you know, they shake up the lines during games even, yeah. You know, so it's not a big deal, but they're just looking for that right combination. Maybe some of it's based on the team they're about to play and where they feel they can exploit certain things.
This keeps popping up in the back of my head, and people tell me I'm wrong, and I probably am because I'm wrong a lot. But
you're wrong.
Yes, I am. This is there are so many guys on this team that underperformed last year that led to the firing of Craig Berube. So when I see things starting to trend in a negative direction, that little voice in my brain says, hey, a lot of these guys are these same guys that just would not perform for Berube. So why are they going to perform this year?
Well, no, you're being pragmatic. And I think it's fair. And I think it's logical, because if the lack of effort or intensity or commitment or buy-in, whatever you want to say, if that wasn't there last year, and yeah, there was a talent deficiency as well, but if that wasn't there last year, and this is a guy who led some of those guys in that locker room who are still here to the Stanley Cup, yet they kind of turned on him. You know, they got a response out of Drew Bannister definitely got a response out of them. But who's to say, you know, there's going to be this unending commitment to Drew Bannister, and that they're going to do everything differently under him than they did under Craig Berube when Berube was losing steam and effectiveness as the coach. So it's a fragile situation. You know, I don't think there's any doubt about that. But I also I feel like maybe I'm overreacting to an 8-1 loss, because they've done some good things. But the last two games in particular, you know, they've been outscored 13-3. And there's no way to put any polish on that. That's just really bad.
He is Bernie Miklas, part of the team here. Of course, you can read him over at Scoops Network. You can also watch all of his videos at The Bernie Show on YouTube. Go check that out. 1 to 2 videos being posted every single day. Great stuff from Bernie. And Bernie, of course, before we get you out of here, who is bringing you on today?
It's our friends at Saliga Heating and Cooling. You know, the Miklas family has been calling Saliga Heating and Cooling really for about 15 years. And, hey, we're part of the tradition, because this independent American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning dealer has been serving generations of St. Louis families since 1927. In fact, I love this, because the Saliga family, there's 4 generations of them that have continuously owned the business. And their generations of the family have been serving other generations of families in the St. Louis area. I just love that longevity and that sustainable relationship that has worked well for St. Louis and the Saligas. So I'm a longtime customer and fan. Dan Saliga does a great job. They have that American standard heating and air conditioning equipment. They can do anything you want, big job, small job, somewhere in the middle, residential, commercial, an emergency, just a problem. You have questions, maintenance work, things like that. In fact, they have a wonderful Priority Club maintenance plan today, and you should check that out. But they're terrific. I give them an emphatic endorsement for their honesty and integrity and professionalism and their knowledge. You can count on Saliga, just like St. Louisans have been doing since 1927. If you want to find out their services, you go to SaligaHeatingCooling.com, SaligaHeatingCooling.com. The phone number, which is on their site, but it's 314-481-7333.
A Great Bar Sports Open Line continues right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Great to have you with us. Last night after the World Series game, Martin Kilcoyne over at Fox 2 had a conversation with John Mozeliak. And you can head to the Fox 2 website and watch it for yourself. I thought Martin did a good job and asked some interesting questions. A lot of what Mo had said, we've already heard him say. Kind of the explanation for why they're going about things the way they're going about them right now, the shift to development and the reset in player development and all those sort of things. The question that was asked that I found the answer to be most interesting, and again, not because the answers weren't interesting, it was just most of the answers, we've heard some version of that answer already. But the one thing that Mo said to Martin on that interview last night was he was asked directly about discussions with veteran players and how receptive they are to what the Cardinals are trying to do. And we just talked about with Bernie a few moments ago in our last segment about the idea that this team is going to move on from some players. And in many ways, it might make sense to move on from a Nolan Arenado. In some ways, it makes sense to move on from a Wilson Contreras. Depending on what you can get back, there's a scenario where it makes sense to move on from Sonny Gray. So there's a lot of no-trade clauses in those contracts. That is one hurdle that's going to have to be jumped over if any of those guys are going to be moved. But, and I'm paraphrasing here, and again, you can go listen to the conversation for yourself if you want over at the Fox 2 website. But Mo said, essentially, they've had some of these conversations with these veteran players, and for the most part, the veterans are excited and interested in being part of this reset for the Cardinals moving forward. Now, look, we don't know who he's talked to. We don't know how it's been put. I said for the most part, I don't know if those were the exact words that Mo used, but that's a paraphrase that I think is correct. If it's for the most part, then maybe that is somebody. There is somebody in there who's does not so much have the stomach to be part of whatever the Cardinals are going to be doing here moving forward. But when I look at it, you know, there's been some reports out there that Sonny Gray is really comfortable in St. Louis. He's pretty close to his home. It's a friendly place to play, that he would like to stick around. And that makes sense. I saw with my own eyes Nolan Arenado last year seemingly really kind of shift the way he went about how he carries himself to really being locked in on some of the young guys and trying to be a mentor to them and everything. And maybe that was just a byproduct of the circumstance that Nolan was not producing at the level that he wanted to produce at, and the team was not playing as well as he would like the team that he's a part of. So what can he do? Well, instead of just sulking and being unhappy about it, he can go really invest in young players and be a good leader inside of that clubhouse. And again, 1 year ago when we're having these conversations, the talk was about there's not enough leadership in the Cardinal clubhouse because Arenado and Goldschmidt are not vocal leaders. And I saw shit, and I didn't always completely agree with that. I thought it kind of got a little silly last offseason when every guy that's being brought in, we're talking about his ability to be a leader on the team and a leader in the clubhouse. And look, there's a place for that. I think in baseball more than any other sport, what happens inside the clubhouse has an impact on your win-loss record. In baseball, that impacts your win-loss record more than it does in football, more than it does in basketball, more than it does in hockey. It absolutely has an impact. But you're a bad team talent-wise where everybody gets along and you got a bunch of high-character guys, they're not going to go win you 100 games because it's all kumbaya in the clubhouse. Like that's not how it works. And I do think the clubhouse was good this past year. I think it was a good mix of young guys and old guys, and not a lot in between. There was a bunch of really old guys and a bunch of really young guys, but I think it was a good clubhouse mix. So, yeah, I just that's what stuck out to me about what I heard from John Mozeliak in that Fox 2 interview yesterday, that the sense is that there's a lot of guys who are later on in their careers that want to be around. Now, that doesn't mean for sure they're going to be around. The Cardinals have talked about dropping payroll, and you get the sense they are going to drop payroll. And I just, you know, Martin said at the end of the piece yesterday, he said of those three players that I just mentioned, Arenado, Contreras, and Gray, he thinks the Cardinals move on from one of them. I think the Cardinals likely could, maybe not likely, but I think there's a good chance that the Cardinals move on from two of them. It would not shock me if Arenado gets traded and Contreras gets traded and maybe Gray sticks around. I just, at this point, and this doesn't mean that these aren't guys that can't help the team win next year, because they potentially can be at their best. They are good major league players. I just don't see a whole lot of value at this point in Steven Matz and Miles Michaelis being on the roster going into next year. You can't completely rely on Matz. Michaelis, even with the fact that, I mean, this is a guy who was an all-star a couple years ago, and he's going to give you a really, really solid start every few starts. Unfortunately, that ERA, you know, one of the two or three worst ERAs over the last two seasons, that looms large. So if you can find a team that will take them and take on some of the salary, you're not going to get rid of the entire salary, but if there's a team out there that'll take half of Michaelis's salary. Matz's isn't that bad, but you probably can't trade his entire salary. If there's teams out there that will take those guys on, I think you have to do it, even if you eat, you will have to eat some of this salary. But when I've talked about a lot this week, just the rotation, I continue to be stuck on this idea that a rotation that features Sonny Gray, Eric Fetty, Andre Pallante, and then some combination of McGreevy, Graceffo, and Matthews, that's the way to go. I think it can be as good as you were last year from a rotation standpoint, and it finally gives those young guys, McGreevy and Graceffo and eventually Quinn Matthews, it gives those guys a job where they can have it and they can move forward. One more break, then we'll wrap up hour number one of the program. It's the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Back at it, just a couple minutes left here in hour number one of the program. Got a text message from 314. Says, look at the Yankees and the Dodgers. They have superstars. Dodgers superstars are not homegrown. That's what people need to understand. You can homegrown your support staff, but you need at least one star pitcher and at least one superstar everyday player, and then fill the rest with homegrown. I disagree in the sense that that's what you have to do. Yes, the Yankees and the Dodgers are playing in the World Series right now. I'm not running away from that fact. Two high payroll teams that have been very aggressive in how they have gone out and acquired players. And they have both gone to the World Series. But this is the exception, not the rule, when it comes to teams in the World Series. Look at the Houston Astros. You can argue that there's been no team that has been more successful over the last 5 to 10 years, especially in the postseason, than the Houston Astros. Are they going out and signing superstar players from the outside? A little bit from a pitching perspective, but their core is homegrown. And they've done a really good job, and they've got superstar players that are homegrown. So to sit here and say, well, the Dodgers and the Yankees, they're both in the World Series, and look at how they built their teams, so this is the only way to do it. No. That is a flawed premise. Can you do it that way? Yeah, you can. In some ways, does it make it easier to do that way? Yeah. But you know what? The Dodgers, they do everything right. They spend money on free agents right. They make trades right. They do player development right. They throw money around in the smartest way possible. The Dodgers are arguably the smartest team in baseball. And it's not just them bringing in superstars like Shohei Ohtani, and it's not just homegrown guys being support players. They've got legit dudes that they have produced. So I would push back strongly on that statement. Don't use just one World Series where those profile of teams are both in it as a reason to say that's the only way to win at the highest level. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it here on KMOX. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line. Wanted to mention this because this is very, very cool. Maria Kina is hanging with us for just a few moments. The Missouri Sports Hall of Fame has announced their next Hall of Fame class, and there's two folks connected to very strongly connected to KMOX who are on the list.
Ooh.
Earl Austin Jr., the analyst for St. Louis Billikens basketball, I think also going in for his work as a sports writer. And then also Jim Jackson, St. Louis Cardinals longtime engineer, being inducted in the class of 2024 for the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Congratulations to both of them. So well deserved.
Yeah, it's a big class. Some of the other, I don't want to take anything away from anybody, but Anthony Bonner, former SLU player, played at Vashon. Let's see, who's Taylor Twellman, St. Louis soccer legend, a bunch of different teams in there. So, yeah.
It's going to be a big class.
It's a really big class. So this is really cool, but not to take anything away from anybody, just awesome to see KMOX once again so well represented.
Very much so. Earl Austin, what a great guy.
Oh, he's so good.
My goodness.
He's the nicest guy in the world. And he's so, his love for basketball, I mean, you listen to these games and you just hear it. We're going to have him on the show on Friday to preview the SLU season. We have him on a bunch. But gosh, we're so lucky with the broadcasters that we have in St. Louis. And that broadcast duo of Bob Ramsey and Earl Austin Jr. calling Billikens basketball doesn't get much better.
And his knowledge, it's like, how do you retain all that knowledge? And like it's nothing.
The institutional knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when you think about baseball broadcasts, we never talk about the engineers on other sports, but we do in baseball because they're there every day. They're part of the 162 games. Jim Jackson is there every day. He doesn't miss a day.
Yeah.
He's there every single day. It is few and far between. I would guess that there are more years where he does all 162 than years where he gets a game off here or there. And it really makes me happy to know that you know, while there's so much focus, and I'm not, you know, this is not anything against the actual broadcasters, but Jim Jackson is such a huge part of St. Louis Cardinals baseball on the radio, and for him to get honored in this way, it is really, really cool and well deserved.
And that's so true because, you know, if not for the technical people, there could be a lot of problems and things would not sound so good there, if not for those guys.
Yeah, and you know, I watch Jim. He works so hard. Like I'll pull back the curtain a little bit on this one. So he is on the first bus to the ballpark every single day when the team's on the road. I don't know how old Jim is, but he's not young. He's not a young guy.
Yeah.
And man, he's got all this equipment and he is lugging it around ballparks, and it is a tough job what he does, and he gets stuff put together so quickly, and you know, he has to deal with requests coming in at any given moment, and he takes care. I mean, there's a lot that goes on with that job. It's not like he's just carrying a pair of headphones and he plugs them in and he sits there and makes sure that they stay on the air. There's a lot that Jim does.
And think about it. Do you ever hear any problems on a Cardinals broadcast?
Very rarely.
Very rarely.
And I can tell you, if you do hear problems, it's not because of Jim Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
It is because of something probably on the road where they don't have a good internet connection or something like that.
Yeah.
So congratulations going out to both Earl Austin Jr. and Jim Jackson.
Very much so.
Well deserved. Yeah. So Maria, thanks for sticking around a little bit with us.
Okay.
That's Maria Keenan from the news department. So that's good news. That's really good news and so well deserved for those two individuals and everybody else that's part of the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame that's going to be going in there. Really a well-deserved thing. We are keeping an eye on what's going on in the World Series. They are underway. Top of the first inning, Kyle Sixt and I were just having the conversation on whether or not Freddie Freeman, A, would hit a home run, or B, hit a home run in the first inning, and if he does hit a home run in the first inning, whether or not it would be a two-run shot. What is it? It's six straight World Series games for him?
Yeah, going back to his time with the Braves, six straight World Series games with a homer.
I don't know if he hits one tonight. I don't think he hits one off Gerrit Cole.
I think that's a safe assumption, but with the way he's playing, I mean, he just seems unstoppable at the moment.
Look, he's the reason, because you can go back, and I wasn't the only one saying this, but when this series got started and people like me picked the Yankees to win it, and I said it was like a 51-49 thing, when people like me picked the Yankees, I picked the Yankees largely because I thought the top three hitters for the Yankees in Judge, Soto, and Stanton, based off what Stanton had done in the postseason this year, that was better than the top three hitters for the Dodgers, which I identified as Ohtani, Betts, and then I put Hernandez in there. That was my third guy for the Dodgers because Freddie Freeman just hadn't done anything. He was playing on one ankle. But me and many other people, again, it wasn't an original thought by me, said, hey, if Freddie Freeman finds a way to be Freddie Freeman this series, that kind of shifts the which, you know, kind of group of three, where at the very least it makes it look more even. And he was very much a key for this Dodgers team, and it's not a coincidence that the Dodgers are up 3-1, and Freddie Freeman has been absolutely spectacular so far here in the World Series, and it's been fun to watch what he can do. I am very much hoping that the Yankees do win this game tonight. Unfortunately for everybody in baseball, yesterday's game, and really the news coverage coming out of it, has very much been connected to the Yankees fans who interfered with Mookie Betts down the right field line. This has been a really weird thing. By the way, Freddie Freeman did not hit a home run in the first inning. This has been a really weird thing because in some ways there's been like this glorifying of a couple dudes. One guy has Mookie's glove, like holding onto it, trying to dig the ball out of it, and it's kind of twisting the wrist. I'm not trying to make it, you know, more nefarious than it actually was, and in slow motion it probably looks worse than in the moment. But the other guy is holding Betts' arm. Like, you can't do this. And there's been some news coverage out of it where those guys were interviewed. One of them was like a former roommate or something with Rob Gronkowski, and he was kind of lifting him up. Like, we should not go down a path where we are glorifying people who are like physically touching professional athletes in the field of play. Am I crazy for saying that, Kyle?
No, you're not at all. I totally agree. It's wild.
And so again, the stuff like this happens. It's been more the coverage coming out of it that's been weird. And these guys are kind of charismatic guys. Like, I get it. If you're ESPN, you want the clicks. Jesse Rogers wrote a story. I'm a huge Jesse Rogers fan. He's been on this show many times. I see he comes to St. Louis. He covers teams in the middle of the country mostly. He's based out of Chicago, so we see him in St. Louis. I would see him a lot when I was working in Milwaukee. We always see him at spring training. Like, this guy is somebody who I respect so much, and I really like his work. This is one where I disagree with where he went with it, just because I felt like in many ways it was glorifying it. And I think I saw this on social media. It's right. It's not an apples to apples comparison, because when the Bartman thing happened, that impacted the home team in a very negative way. But Bartman has his situation. He has to go into hiding. You can't even see it. And now these guys do this in New York, and they're being vaulted up as some sort of hero by some people in the New York media. And I don't like it.
Yeah, it's an odd situation, because when you're in the moment, I'm sure you're not even thinking about it. You're just going after the baseball. But in this situation, it's so much more than that. You know, he's reaching in the glove. He's touching Mookie Betts. It's more than just going for the baseball.
Right, yeah. I think the baseball was on the fan side of it. So if they would have got the baseball, cool. I got no problem with it. Baseball rules are very, very clear, and that's part of the home field advantage. Baseball rules are very clear. If the baseball is into the stands, yes, the player can go into the stands to try to reach for it, but they don't have a right to it over the fans. It's a 50-50 sort of situation. So if it's just a situation where those guys go for the ball and they catch it, or even if they deflect it away, like if they punch it out of the air where Betts can't make the catch, I have zero problem with that. It's the grabbing of the glove, digging into the glove, grabbing Betts' arm. Like, we just can't normalize doing that. It's different, and this is a stretch. I know this is a stretch, but you think about the palace at the palace, and when players went into the stand like that, there's a separation between player and fan, and each side of it needs to be respectful. So players can't go into the stands and do something to fans. Fans can't do something to players physically, and that's what happened yesterday. Very unfortunate. Those two individuals were banned from attending tonight. The Yankees have not said if they're going to be banned moving forward. Major League Baseball hasn't said if they're going to be banned moving forward. They are season ticket holders for the Yankees. They are hopeful that it's just going to be a one-night sort of thing. Tonight's the final game that's going to be played in New York. The Players Association has said that they are keeping an eye on it. If these guys are not banned long-term from Yankee Stadium and the Players Association decides that they want to make a deal of it, they can make a deal of it. This can be something that really escalates very quickly. All right, we will take a break. And when we return, our good friend Scott Warman's going to join us from FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. Have to get used to saying that. Our buddy Scott Warman joins us in just a moment. This is a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We're very happy to be a welcome on to the program. One of our favorite people to talk with. We'll talk some Cardinals, some Blues, some Missouri Valley basketball, a few other things as well. It's our good friend Scott Warman joining us. Scott, always appreciate the time. How are you?
I'm doing great, buddy. How are you?
I am good. I am better than the Blues are because yesterday they lost 8-1 in Ottawa. Oof. They've allowed 13 goals in their last two games, and that was coming off a fantastic 5-1 win in Toronto. I know it's still really, really early, so it's hard to make any big statements, but what do you make of this Blues team so far this year?
Well, I think the one thing is obviously losing Robert Thomas is massive. I mean, he was your points leader last year. He's your number one center. He's your top facilitator. He was absolutely, you look at the numbers, Maddie, he's killing it at the faceoff. I mean, he's literally one of the top faceoff guys. So that means whether he's working PK or power play or 5-on-5, you're controlling the puck because he's winning so many faceoffs. So there's so many variables losing a guy like Robert Thomas. And that is a huge, huge loss for this team, especially when you look at the middle of their lineup. When I mean the middle of their lineup, that's pertaining to the center position, probably isn't as deep as what we've seen from a hockey team before. You're trying to figure this thing out of Pavel Buchnevich, who's a long-term center right now. You got a guy like Dalibor Dvorsky, who's going to be with this team at some juncture. Too early right now, still getting his feet wet in pro hockey, you know, with Springfield on the minor league team. So with that truly is. And you even look, Matt, at the games, man games lost for this hockey team last year, it was minimal. They really did not get hit with the injury bug. And all of a sudden, the first month, and this team is getting hammered with the injury bug. But with all that being said, I know I mentioned this with Joey Vitale the other day on the broadcast on FanDuel Sports Network, was the fact that the Blues are putting themselves in an uncompromising situation, Matt, by falling behind too early in games, and you're constantly playing catch-up. They got away with it, and if you remember, in their first road trip to start the season, where they came back, had some big wins, went in overtime, what have you, but you can't consistently play like that. And that's what happened in Montreal. We talked about it after the game against the Canadiens on Saturday. All of a sudden, you fall behind 2-0 early in the game. The second goal by the Canadiens, actually, it's right after you had a power play. They get a goal, but then 21 seconds later, boom, the Blues score. And pretty much, if you look at the ice, it was really tilted towards the Blues' way from that point moving forward for the rest of the game. Unfortunately, they only scored a pair, and they wind up losing 5-2. Last night, well, that was just a stinker. But again, it's one of those things where you fall, what was it, 3-0 after 20 minutes of play. And it was really mistakes. The Blues were coughing up the puck. And, you know, there was a lot of odd man rushes in that, just in that first period alone by Ottawa. But that, I think that's, if I'm Drew Bannister and I'm Doug Armstrong and company, one of the biggest concerns for me right now is this team not coming out of the gate quick enough, which is crazy because, as you alluded to, you're taking on one of the best teams in the National Hockey League and the Toronto Maple Leafs in Toronto, and you play by far your best game. You're like, whoa, what a response for the loss of Robert Thomas. And you even played really well that night before, or two nights before that, when you wrapped up your homestand against one of the best teams right now in the NHL and the Winnipeg Jets. You only lose by a goal, and then all of a sudden, things turn on it. So I hate to say must win. We're a first month of the season, but, you know, you got to play a lot better against a lowly Philadelphia Flyers team. I know they beat Boston, but the Flyers have really struggled out of the gate, and you'd really like to see the Blues pick up a couple of points tomorrow night against the Flyers.
Look, I realize this is not the same team as it was last year. There's guys who are here now that weren't here and guys who are here that are not here anymore, but there are a kind of a core group of players that were part of a group that resulted in a head coach being fired, and there were certainly character concerns that were raised by folks about last year's team, again, really, really early. But I'm starting to hear those kind of conversations again. Do you think that's valid or not?
I don't, because A, like you just mentioned, it's early. And the people I know that are with the team and travel with the team tell me that this is probably as close-knit of a group that we've had in a couple, 2-3 years. And so I don't know if there is validity to that, to be quite honest with you. And that's again, people that I talk to are with this team on an everyday basis. I think what you're running into is, again, you're running into injuries, and you're going to have to get over that. The other part of it is the fact that I honestly believe, and I said this before the season, I thought this team was deeper than we've had in years past. When you look at your regular starting 12, when your four lines, that meaning the starting 12, you probably have, and that was the additions that Doug Armstrong made in the offseason, was the fact that you had guys like a Holloway that you brought in, a Texier, guys that brought you a little bit more size and a little bit more speed, even a Foxa who's, you know, a little bit longer in the tooth, but brought size. These are the type of guys that I think that you didn't have that depth last year. But again, you can't afford to lose a guy like Robert Thomas, because guys that are normally on your third line now, Matty, are now being bumped up to your second and first line. So that's where you're kind of razor thin right now. I will say this, and I know I'm speaking because anybody even a casual hockey fan can see it. Philip Broberg is just amazing. And like Joey and I pointed out on our show, on the pregame show on Saturday, the guy plays all ends of the ice. He's not only doing it from an offensive standpoint, but he's also very steady. He's not going to be a guy that's going to drill, you know, somebody through the boards, but he is going to play very smart, cerebral hockey. And it would not surprise me to see Philip Broberg eventually maybe get up to the top pairing with Colton Parayko sooner rather than later, because this guy has really elevated his game. He truly has been, Matty, a great addition to his hockey team. And I think Blues fans have a lot to look forward to with this guy steadying out the blue line.
Yeah, I mean, those moves that were made with Holloway and Broberg, small sample size, but my goodness, are they paying off. And Broberg, like you said, he looks like one of the top defensive players, not the top defenseman on the roster at this point. And even how they shuffled the lines of practice today, like you would expect them to do after a game like yesterday. But Holloway was up to that second line center today.
Yep, absolutely. And that's what you're going to see, you know, with Robert Thomas. You're going to see a lot of juggling, I think, by Drew Bannister until you feel like you're comfortable and you got something going from a rhythm standpoint with this team. With all that being said, it's going to take a little bit of time. You just don't replace a guy like Robert Thomas. But yes, there is no question that Holloway and Broberg have already, you know, have paid dividends for this team. And as you know, it's like baseball. I always say hockey and baseball, they do have, there are some equals there. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. So you're going to have those times where you're going to hit a lull. But I really like what I see out of those two guys. And I know some of the guys that, you know, have been with this team from day one in training camp have told me that they really are high on Texier and give him some time. And they think he can be another great addition to this hockey team.
Let's jump over to the Cardinals for a moment. When the season came to an end and then when we got to the first press conference, the talk about payroll going down was mentioned. And then we had another media availability and there's been a few more things said by Mo. They haven't explicitly stated yet how much payroll is going to drop, but it certainly is starting to feel like it might be somewhat extreme, where two or three of those big contracts might get moved this offseason as they really start to refocus on player development and try to produce more high-end players to the Major League roster. What are your expectations about this offseason and what it's going to look like when all is said and done?
To me, I'm actually kind of excited about this offseason. And I think, and I've had this conversation amongst people that you and I are contemporaries, but also with, you know, some Cardinal fans out there, that I think because of the frustration of what transpired the last 2 years, given some of these young guys that have come through the ranks, giving them looks, I think is something that I think Cardinals fans will be intrigued. Granted, the ultimatum is to win baseball games, but you know, you have to learn. It's kind of a learning process. And as I've always said for years, we're so spoiled around here, you know this, Matt, that, you know, we've seen winning baseball, or at least competitive baseball, for 20 plus years. So this is, you know, really uncharted territory for Cardinal fan. So to say, oh, we're going to watch the young kids play. Well, we haven't said that in a long, long time. But with all that being said, I think to me what I am most intrigued about with this is to see what deals are made. But the important part is what you get in return. Because if you are going to deal guys that have value and have contract that you're getting rid of, you know, if you can get some player or players that you can get in return that are ready, young, and are ready or near ready, that are considered top prospects within other organizations, I think you can turn this thing around. Like Mo said in that first press conference that you were alluding to, Matty, is a retool. I mean, I've mentioned this before, is the fact that the retool that I think Mo has mentioned is kind of similar to what Doug Armstrong has been trying to mention. Like, look, you know, we won the Stanley Cup 5 years ago. Guys age. Things aren't going right. So we're trying to make what he would call a quick rebuild. And that's what he's trying to stay in the playoff hunt while, you know, still trying to build up your prospect pool. And I think I kind of gather that's kind of what the Cardinals want to do, too, is, hey, we're going to retool here. But the hope is that we're not going to be out of this playoff hunt for very long. And with some of the guys that we still have high expectations that are within our organization, bringing in more via the draft, but also acquire in deals, that maybe we can turn this thing around. So I think, to me, I don't know if you're heading down to Dallas for Claves or not, but if you are, I would be really excited if I was you guys to go down there, because I think this could be a really exciting time to see what the future holds for this ball club and what the Cardinals are going to receive in some of these deals that we believe they're going to wind up making and trimming some of this payroll.
Yeah, and I will be at the winter meetings. And I think, look, I don't think you have to squint that hard to say, from a rotation standpoint, if you remove a Lance Lynn and a Kyle Gibson, but you add Eric Fetty and then you have Andre Pallante for a full year, and maybe you get something out of McGreevy or Graceffa or Matthews. Like, you compare that to a group last year that had Michaelis in there. We'll see if he's back, but Matt's in there. Like, I think though that rotation I mentioned can be just as productive. If you don't have Goldschmidt and Arenado, if you move on from Arenado and you look at first, second, and third, and you've got some combination of Burleson, Donovan, Sajacy, Gorman, I feel like with the lack of production that you got out of Goldschmidt and Arenado last year, you can definitely see a scenario where you're at least matching that. And if you kind of match this past season in a year that's supposed to be a retool, I think that's a step forward.
Right. I agree. I think getting Burleson in there basically on an everyday basis, whether it's first base, outfield, or DH, or a combination of the three, is very important. I mean, that guy, I mean, even me, I can tell he's just a pure hitter. I think giving Jordan Walker an opportunity, maybe find himself, maybe work with somebody else, maybe finding him, because we know he has the tools. And I think the same can be said for Nolan Gorman. Remember, again, we always put ifs, big ifs here. If Arenado is dealt, remember, Gorman came up as a third baseman. So is that one of those situations where you put Nolan back in his original position? And maybe, again, I'm using a hypothesis here, is maybe he a little bit more comfortable over at the hot corner than, you know, learning second base? That might be something that could work to his advantage. Again, ifs, but I'm just throwing out different scenarios there. As far as the pitching is concerned, that's where I think the Cardinals probably are going to look at more likely than anything else when they do, or we assume they're going to make some of these deals, is try to replenish some of the pitching, whether it's starting rotation or even the bullpen. I think the X factor in this whole thing, to be quite honest with you, is Ryan Helsley. I mean, Helsley's coming off an incredible year. We always knew that he had the ability to be a shutdown closer. He's going to arbitration, Matt, this offseason. After that, you know, he's going to be a free agent. So I'm sure Heim, along with Mo and everybody else, are sitting back, go, look, are we going to be able to afford him after next year if he continues to do, and hopefully he does continue to do what he's doing? Or would it be more advantageous for us, while he's at his peak, to maybe see what we can get for a guy like Ryan Helsley? I think that could be a really interesting trade chip if you want to go that route, or if you're comfortable, because I know this, and I've repeated myself several times, but I think it's because we have the utmost respect for Tony La Russa. But Tony always told all of us, you know, just sitting there having a baseball conversation, if he started a baseball team, a closer would be the first player he would get, because he always said that was the most important piece to have a championship team. So just going by what TLR says, it tells me that, you know, there is so much value in either having a closer or trading a closer, if that's the thought process by a lot of these other GMs and president of baseball operations out there, where maybe you can get something, a large return, if you will, for a guy like Ryan Helsley. I'm just really intrigued by what's going to transpire in this offseason. I think it's going to be very, very interesting to see what this Cardinal organization does.
Last thing for you, just real quickly, you are one of the many things that you do is one of the broadcasters for the Missouri Valley Conference. College basketball season begins on Monday. A lot of excitement locally, but what is your excitement level for what you're going to see coming out of the Valley this year?
Pretty excited. I think we've got several teams that are going to be really good. I think Murray State, who's going to be in their third year in the Valley, really has an opportunity to make some noise this year. Bradley's going to be good again with Brian Wardle. Expectations are that Ben Jacobson, who's been a little bit quiet with his group over the last few years, Northern Iowa, always normally in the middle of the thick of a race. They're going to be there. Talking to some of my other analysts that I work with in the Valley, a couple of them work up in the Iowa area. Ben McCollum, who used to be at Northwest Missouri State and had a lot of success up there, took over for Darren DeVries at Drake, and they tell me he brought in some elite athletes up in Des Moines for Drake. So I'm going to be really intrigued to see that. We're seeing a lot of coaching changes, new coach down in SIU Carbondale, Indiana State, obviously, with Josh going to SLU. And then, of course, Missouri State brings back Konza Martin. So I know there's a lot of excitement, as you know, Maddie, down at Missouri State with Zoe coming back, because Zoe had so much success with that program at Missouri State before he went to Tennessee.
He is Scott Warren. Have you gotten used to saying FanDuel Sports Network yet?
Yes, I've been practicing at home a lot.
All right.
Well, here's a real quick one. So when we changed from Fox Sports Midwest to Bally Sports, you look at the desk, if you watch it all, and I just have my papers, my script or whatever. But when we made that change, I brought my iPad out. When I did, Maddie, with the iPad, I really didn't have anything on the iPad. I just had written on their Bally's as a reminder that I had to do Bally's instead of Fox Sports Midwest. Now, Saturday was my first time doing the FanDuel thing, and we had some issues going on behind the scenes with the truck and everything. So there was a lot of moving parts. So I didn't get my iPad. Didn't bring it with me. I forgot it, but I didn't mess up. Okay. I mentioned FanDuel Sports Network every time, so I didn't get that email from the bosses in LA that I had screwed up. So knock on wood, so far so good.
Perfect. It's Scott Warman from FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. Scott, always appreciate the time. We'll talk again real soon.
Sounds good, Maddie. Thank you, buddy.
Scott Warman joining us. That would be tough for, I remember, I can't tell you how locked in I was, because if you remember when I got to St. Louis, I had been doing Brewers postgame. I can't tell you how locked in I was on every Cardinals postgame show that I did not accidentally say Brewers, and that I did not actually accidentally say the name of the station that I had previously worked for, not KMOX. There were a couple times where it almost came out, and you kind of hear yourself before you say something, if that makes any sense. And I caught it. But yeah, that's you call it Bally Sports Midwest for a while, and all of a sudden you got called FanDuel Sports Network Midwest, and it's just a little bit different. All right, we'll take a break. We got a lot more coming up. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. You know, Creed is getting a lot of love. I was listening to Dave Simons, Kyle, when I was driving home last night, and he started rocking a little Creed in the middle of his first segment as I was driving home.
He was rocking last night.
Yeah. I don't hate Creed. I don't. I owned a couple of their albums back in the day. Probably like I graduated high school in 2001. I feel like they were like a high school band for me.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but a lot of Creed and a lot of Evanescence. We yeah. With the FanDuel Sports Network story from yesterday, I was talking about that with Chris and Amy earlier today, and Matt Pajeski, their producer, former producer of this show, started rocking the Evanescence song right in the middle of my hit with Chris and Amy, so that was fun. What's not fun is being Jack Flaherty, because his final start of the season did not go well. Yankees and Dodgers are playing World Series game number 5 right now. Flaherty, the former Cardinal, gives up 3 runs in the first inning, courtesy of an Aaron Judge 2-run home run and a Jazz Chisholm Jr. solo shot. He comes back out for the second inning, gives up another run, and his day is over. It is 4-0 Yankees, bottom of the second inning, and the Dodgers have already gone to their bullpen as Anthony Bonda is in to pitch right now as the Dodgers try to maybe put somebody in to stem the tide a bit and give them an opportunity to come back. I don't know how it's all going to play out. All I'll say is this. When the Dodgers were down yesterday late in the game, they made the decision to go with their B bullpen, which is fine. Those guys have to, they're on the roster. They've got to pitch at some point. But they let some guys just get in, stay in there and get shelled. And they punted on yesterday's game late in the game. It went to a point where they were clearly not trying to win anymore and they were just trying to get the game over with and getting to tonight. I understand resource allocation and who you don't want to use yesterday because that might make them unavailable today. But depending on how things go, and I still think the Dodgers win this series, the Yankees winning 4 in a row seems incredibly unlikely. But if that happens, I think you go back to yesterday's game and that decision and a Yankees offense that has been awesome, but then had not been awesome in the World Series. You let them unlock a little bit yesterday. You got them feeling good. And then what happens? They walk into the ballpark today, and Aaron Judge and Jazz Chisholm Jr. each hit home runs in the first inning, and the Yankees have 4 runs over the first 2 innings. I'm just saying that might be a decision that could potentially backfire a bit on the Dodgers. I understand why they did it. I'm not even saying it was the wrong move, but it was a move that might have negative consequences. Brad Young's going to join us in just a few minutes to preview At Your Service. He's in tonight from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. He'll join me next. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Just a few minutes left in the program, but you will not want to go anywhere once we are done. At Your Service tonight, 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Our guy, Brad Young, is going to be hosting this evening, and he joins us right now in front of his program. Hey, Brad.
Mr. Pauley, good to see you, sir.
Good to see you as well. And final show for you before the election.
Before the election. We are going to talk about some election stuff tonight. I'm going to go through some polling data, talk about some of the election lawsuits that we're already seeing, and trying to prognosticate, not necessarily the outcome of the election, but how will the legal field respond to the what appears now to be a very, very, very tight race.
You're a smart guy. Smarter than me.
Oh, please.
You are. And I have a hard, because I'm not a big political guy, but around this time of the year, it's hard to not pay attention. And especially on social media, I'll see all the polls. And I can go find a poll that tells you that Donald Trump's leading by 4 in Wisconsin, or I can find you a poll that says Kamala Harris is leading by 4 in Wisconsin or in Pennsylvania or any of these swing states. You know, there's not a lot of consistency in the polling data as dumb guy Matt sees.
Very easy solution to that.
So how do you discern what's right?
Very easy.
Okay.
A company called 538, which was devised by a guy named Nate Silver.
Yeah. Old ESPN guy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He devised what's the perfect plan, and now it's being replicated by other companies. And that's what this is what he does. He takes and he divides polls as class A, B, C, or D in terms of their past predictability and accuracy after the election. So then he takes all the polls that fall into class A being the most reliable, and he does a poll of polls. And so you take the most accurate polls, and then you get basically an average, a statistical average of the polls. And that, at least in theory, is the most accurate way to weed out the bias one way or the other.
Is it? Do you find it to be accurate?
I do.
Okay.
I do. But now that doesn't account for human nature. I mean, those polls are just based on what people tell the pollsters. Is everyone being polled? No. Does that mean if it rains in Pennsylvania, there's going to be less of a turnout of one group or another that could impact it? But at least in terms of predictability, that method is the best.
Okay, interesting. I know we got about a minute. I know you wanted to mention the Yankees fan situation.
Well, I was watching that Mookie Betts play where he's up there and the video is crystal clear. And those Yankee fans are trying to extract the ball from Mookie Betts' glove. And one thing that nobody's talked about is, number one, the fans were actually committing assault and battery on Mookie Betts.
Mm-hmm.
They could have been arrested. I don't know if they were. I think they were thrown out of the game.
Yeah, and they were banned for tonight. They were told if they showed up tonight, they would be arrested.
Right. But also, how about attempted robbery? You know, I mean, attempted theft. It was in his possession, and they were stealing the ball. Those guys needed to be arrested.
Well, the out did get recorded. The umpires did call for fan interference. So from that standpoint, it was. Yeah, but that can't happen.
That's terrible.
That just cannot happen.
No.
20 seconds. Anything else on the show tonight that you want to mention?
Well, phone lines are going to be open. I canceled interviews for tonight because I wanted to leave the whole night open for phone calls. And so stick around to hear from the audience tonight.
Brad Young is on the way next. It's At Your Service here on KMOX.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.